If you were to ask me what my greatest spiritual frustration is, after having served as the pastor of progressive churches for the past 17 years, it wouldn't take me long to answer. I would say my greatest single frustration is how few people take the time to read or study the Bible. Why do so few people bother to pick it up these days in our progressive churches? Many reasons, I suppose. One of which is that so many people have had the Bible used against them as a weapon. And if not against them, then the ones they love. And they deal with that pain by either dismissing the Bible entirely or avoiding it whenever possible. And today's scripture from the Gospel of Mark is a great example of why they do that. For this morning's passage includes an oft-quoted teaching of Jesus regarding divorce. The passage has been used by some in the church to do awful things in the name of Jesus. Things like deny the sacrament of communion to divorced persons, or counsel individuals in abusive relationships to stay in the marriage. So this morning, I want to use our time together to dig much deeper into the passage. And in doing so, I hope you'll come to see it a bit differently. But before we start digging in, let me take a moment and read the passage to you first from Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 16, as read from the Message. From there, Jesus went to the area of Judea across the Jordan. A crowd of people, as was so often the case, went along, and he, as he did so often, taught them. Pharisees came up, intending to give Jesus a hard time. They ask, "Is it legal for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus said, "What did Moses command?" They answered, "Moses gave permission to fill out a certificate of dismissal and divorce her." Jesus said, "Moses wrote this command only as a concession to your hard-hearted ways. In the original creation, God made male and female to be together. Because of this, a man leaves father and mother, and in marriage, he becomes one flesh with a woman, no longer two individuals, but forming a new unity. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart." When they were back home, the disciples brought it up again. Jesus gave it to them straight. A man who divorces his wife so he can marry someone else commits adultery against her. And a woman who divorces her husband so she can marry someone else commits adultery. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. Thus ends the reading. This morning's passage, as you heard, can be incredibly difficult if you only look at the words on their surface. That's because we're really walking in the middle of a conversation, one not just between Jesus, the Pharisees, and the disciples, but rather one between Jesus and the religious tradition in which he'd been raised. Folks who heard today's story back in Jesus' original audience would have known that the conversation about divorce really had begun in the Torah. And there it was made clear that divorce was perfectly fine. All a man had to do was to take a woman out into the public square, issue a decree or certificate of divorce, and that was pretty much it. And once a woman and her children became cut off from her husband, she and they were at the mercy of society. If her father or brother took her in, she'd be okay. But if not, So that was the first piece of information you need to know to better understand Jesus' teaching. That is, his words were powerful tools meant to protect those most vulnerable. And there's a second piece of information you need to know as well regarding the Pharisees' question and its nature. You see, today's passage is only the second time the matter of divorce is mentioned at all in all of Mark's gospel. The only other time divorce was referred to was in the context of the story of Philip and Herodias. Now, Mark's gospel says that John the Baptist got in big trouble because he pointed out that Herodias had gotten a divorce in order to marry Herod. In fact, John's criticism of Herodias got him in such trouble that he was killed. So the Pharisees were hoping to use this morning's question, not so much to settle a matter, a religious matter, but rather to stir up a huge political backlash against Jesus from Rome. So what they were tried to present as a religious question was saturated with political overtones. So with those two pieces of information in mind, let's reconsider Jesus' words for a moment. And when we do that, we find that Jesus' words brilliantly addressed both of those two matters. First, Jesus took on the conversation with tradition by broadening their understanding of that tradition in powerful new ways. For while the tradition had been used to allow primarily men to dismiss women, Jesus reminded them that technically women had just as much right to divorce their husbands. That is why in verses 11 and 12, he spoke of both a man who divorces his wife and a woman who divorced her husband. That would have been shocking to his audience. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He takes it one step further. He says, "You want to talk tradition? I'll talk tradition." And then he brilliantly moves beyond what the faith allows in places like the book of Deuteronomy to what the faith intends. Back in the book of Genesis. And once Jesus addressed the tradition in ways that blew their mind, he was then freed up to move on to the second matter, that of the question's motivation. As I said a moment ago, Jesus knew that the question they put forward as a religious question was really political. So he did something totally unexpected, which leads to what I feel is perhaps the most single overlooked element of the story, the way Jesus turned their question around on them. You might remember that the Pharisees had started things off by asking an abstract question. They ask, is it legal for a man to divorce his wife? Remember how Jesus responded? He didn't say Moses wrote this command as a concession to a man's hard-hearted ways. No, Jesus said Moses wrote this command only as a concession to your hard-hearted ways. In that simple, oft-overlooked shift, Jesus reminds us that what really matters most as we navigate the complexities of life, isn't the hard, fast law. What matters most is what's in our hearts. That's why, immediately after he gave that teaching, the children were called to him and used to help close his case about what life, a life of faith is all about. When he said, "Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." In the simplicity of a child. On this World Communion Day, I was reminded how powerfully those words are and how they can often bring us back to the heart of the matter of what God truly intends for us. And I was reminded, not in the context of a discussion or debate about divorce, but rather in the context of a conversation about immigration. For you see, like many faith leaders across the country, I watched in dismay this past year as we struggled to find our moral compass. When our leaders sought to cut off the flow of immigrants from 7 countries as a subtle way of targeting religious minorities, many of us shrugged our shoulders and walked away. And when leaders moved then to restrict the ability of dreamers to stay in the country and realize their dreams, many simply shrugged their shoulders and said, what can I do? But it was only when the images of children separated from their parents and placed in detention facilities, that whole conversation began to change. When people of faith began to move beyond the question of what should be allowed into a different question, the question that Jesus calls us to: what does God intend? So in closing, let me just say this. I know the times in which we live are not only difficult, they're downright disorienting. And we live in days when asking those same old comfortable questions about what is allowed no longer seems helpful. And friends, that's where the power of Jesus' words today can help. For they move us back to the question that can once again anchor us, both individually and collectively. The question of what God's desire for us is. That question has the ability to carry us further along on this journey to become the very, very best version of ourselves. May God strengthen and encourage us on this journey of becoming. Amen.